Hey guys, welcome to the Mary Valone Show. I'm your host, Mary Valone, and you're listening to episode 26. Today's episode is on how to know when it's time to remove a donor from your prospect list. This is a question that we all ask ourselves. At what point do you just check somebody off the list because they just don't seem to be responding? So we're going to jump into that topic on today's episode. But I also want to share with you that Hey guys, welcome to the Mary Valone Show. I'm your host, Mary Valone, and you're listening to episode 26. Today's episode is about how to know when it's time to remove a donor from your prospect list. This is a question that all of us ask at some point, is when do you check somebody off the list? So we're going to chat about that in just a few minutes. But first, I want to share that the next session of my mastermind coaching program is open for applications. So now's the time to apply to be a part of my August coaching course and coaching program. So what's really exciting about this is that you get a team, a rockstar team of people that are surrounding you. And for those of you who are already a part of my program, they can attest to this because it's been a really incredible journey to hear about each other's stories, but also to do life together and to have each other to back you up on what you should do and next steps. So we have a really good time when we're all hanging out together. But I want to share a testimonial from one of my coaching clients. So Tim Needham, the executive director of the Restoration House, had shared this. He said, "As the executive director of a new nonprofit, I came into Mary Valone's coaching course feeling overwhelmed, nervous, and uncertain as to how to raise the money I needed for the Restoration House. Now, thanks to the tools and strategies that Mary's coaching tools lays out, we have a plan, a team that is being put into place to achieve our objectives, and the confidence to know we're heading in the right direction." So I love it. Thanks, Tim, for that testimonial. And I hope you guys will consider being a part of this. I mean, not everybody gets in. It is an application process, and you do have to go through and apply at maryvalone.com/coaching. But if you're wanting to take your fundraising more seriously, if you're thinking to yourself, "I have got to raise these funds or else I cannot fulfill my mission," then this is the course for you. This is the program that you need to be a part of. So if you've been thinking about it and you just don't know, now's the time to apply. We're taking applications from now until July 28th, Friday, July 28th. So that's only a couple weeks away, depending on when you're listening to this. So July 28th, Friday, do not miss the application deadline. We want you to be a part of it. We're going to be starting the first week of August, and it is a 3-month commitment. And from there, as soon as you apply and if you're a good fit, we'll schedule a time to chat, and then I'll give you all the details about what goes into the program. So be sure to go check that out, maryvalone.com/coaching. All right, so let's talk about how to know when it's time to remove a donor from your prospect list. Oh gosh. Usually what happens when you create that prospect list, let's just start there. When you're creating a prospect list, usually what happens is you just mind dump. You just dump as many names on a sheet of paper as possible, right? So you're just getting everybody down. Who do you think could possibly be interested in your cause and what you're raising funds for? And so you start writing these names down on a sheet of paper. And some of them you know well, some of them you have no idea who they are. And some of them you may not know at this point whether or not they like your cause or are even interested in what it is that you do. But regardless, you're just trying to get it all down, right? So now, once you've got this prospect list and you've started making connections with people, you start to find some are super receptive and some don't respond. So at some point, you're going to have to ask this question about when do I pull them off, or what do I do with somebody who's not responsive? But the three things that you should be asking yourself first before you even put somebody on a list is whether or not they fit one of these three categories, and ideally they fit all three of these categories, okay? So the first one is an affinity towards what it is that you're doing, so an affinity to your cause. Two, they have the ability to financially give. They have the capacity to donate their time, money, or resources to your organization or cause. And the third is that they have access, that you have access to this person. This is somebody you know, it's a friend of a friend, it's a contact, it's a connection, somebody that you actually have access to. Now, having access doesn't necessarily mean just you. remember, as I've been talking in episodes past, I've shared how, you know, you want to build out your team. So access means that somebody on your team has access to them. So that would be the third way that you would get them on your list. So then from there, once you've got those three things, you know, that they have an affinity to your cause, the ability to financially give, and you have access to them. And now is when you start to knock down your prospect list as to whether or not they are, I talk about A plus people. So the whole, you know, system, A plus, B, C, D, whatever, they're on that list. It's kind of that same thing that I want you to create here is to who are your A plus prospects? Who are the ones that are the most ideal, the like low hanging fruit, the ones that if you could just pick up the phone and call them, they'd probably give, right? So that is your A prospect list. So you're probably, what I want you to do is I want you to take your prospect list that you have right now, and I want you to look through it and actually categorize your prospects as A, B, and C. So your A prospects are going to fit those three categories that I mentioned. They're going to fit the affinity, the ability, and you have access to them. So if they fit all three of those categories, then they should be on your prospect A list. Now, if they only fit two of those, they only have the affinity, the ability, and not the access, if you don't have the access to them or one of the, you know, but if you've got two of those, they're going to be on your B prospect list. And then if they only have one, if you only have one part of that, you only have one ability, whether that's affinity, ability, or access. So that's going to be your C prospect list. And really your C's are like, I mean, if you only have one thing on that list, and let's just say that ability is not one of them. If ability is not on your B list or your C list, they really are not capable of being a part of your cause, right? They don't even have the financial capacity to do anything for you. So you really would want to knock them off your list if they don't even have the ability to financially support what it is that you're doing, especially if dollars is what you're looking for and what you're needing. So all that to be said is that once you've got that A list put together, you know that you're going to start knocking that down. You're going to start finding ways to communicate with those A prospects. Now, the B ones, if they are missing the affinity part, you can still win them over, right? So you don't have to necessarily check them totally off your list, because if they still have the ability and you still have access to them, you can actually have a conversation with them and talk to them about what it is that you're doing, and they can grow an affinity towards your cause. And this is where, if you listen back to the episode where I interviewed Colette Young, Colette had shared how she loves it when potential donor or potential nonprofits actually invite her to come and see the facility, see the cause, see what it is that they're doing, to see if she might have an affinity towards that organization. And then that's when she makes the determination as to whether or not she's going to give to it. So, you know, as the wife of the CEO of Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, I mean, they get hit up all the time. But what was great to hear from her in that episode was that she shared that it's not that they don't keep the door open for opportunities to give to other causes. So that just tells me, and should tell you, that there's a lot of people out there that have not closed the door on what causes they support, no matter how high profile, how wealthy, how, you know, prominent this person is, they still leave room for opportunities to give to really good causes. So why not that be you? Why is it that your cause is not that one organization that's going to be the one that they make an exception to and add to their list? So in order to do that, you have to be able to get in front of them. And that would be, you know, once you hit that B list, that B prospect list, then you're going to be able to start to engage them and invite them so that they can see what it is that you're doing. And this is always when you have somebody who's on your A list, who's already financially giving to your cause. That's what makes it so great if an A person, you know, your A prospect invites a bee prospect to come hear about what it is you're doing. Because that just, I mean, they add credibility, they add their testimony to the process. And now all of a sudden this person sees, well, why not? Why would I not have an affinity towards what it is they're doing? Because they're doing such good work. So that's really critical to just look at those A's and B's and realize, wow, there's a lot of great opportunity here. Now the C prospect list, let's just say you have the ability, you know, that they financially have the ability. So they got on your list as a C because maybe there were somebody who's super high profile. Maybe they're a celebrity. Maybe there's somebody who, you just know that, man, they should be interested in what we're doing because they care about our community and, they're originally from this town. So there might be somebody on that list where you're like, this person financially has the ability to do something. They just don't even know we exist today. And at this point, I don't personally know if we have access to them yet. But trust me, if you put somebody's name on a list who has the ability to financially give, you can always find someone who's connected to them. Maybe not today. This might be down the road. It might be a couple months. It might be even a couple of years. But eventually, if you keep that person on your list for a good while and you keep sharing it with your team that this is somebody that you want to connect with, eventually the door does open. So I'm going to mention one of the people that I was so excited to meet. And I put him on my list. I put him on my prospect list, and I'm going to throw it out there. He was a football player who moved to the area, and I knew that he cared about, he cared about the same population that I cared about, that we were raising funds for. But I didn't know if he had an affinity specifically to the people that I was serving. But I knew he had the ability. And I did not have the access. So right there, I had one. I only knew that he had the ability. So what did I do? I made sure that his name came up in conversation as I was talking to new prospects, as I was talking to my volunteers and others that were a part of our organization. And I just kept bringing it up like, oh my goodness, it would be amazing if we had this NFL player a part of our committee, somebody who is a part of our advisory group. And eventually, I mean, it only took a couple months and we had him on he said yes. We got the meeting, we sat down, and it turned out that because of what we had shared, that affinity totally came. And somebody, because we had shared it with the group, somebody got us access. We found out that they had an affinity and they loved what we were doing and obviously had the ability to give, and they did. So that's where it's just one of those things where somebody can be on your C list but be a great prospect. So let's get to the question at hand. So my initial question was, how to know when it's time to remove them? How do you know when to remove them? And I've already shared how to get them to the bottom of your list. How do you know if you should move them from an A to a B, from a B to a C, and from a C, kind of put them just on the list, they're sitting there, but you're not necessarily touching them. So I don't believe that you should ever absolutely remove somebody from your prospect list. I think that it's important that you keep them on regardless, because you never know, right? You never know what's going to happen in their life. You never know when an opportunity might arise, or they might have come into an inheritance or sold a business, or you never know what's going to happen. So I always say keep them on your list regardless, and keep notes. So in your prospect, however you're keeping information about your prospects, whether that's in a database or a spreadsheet, I want to make sure that you keep track of when you're talking to them, what kind of response you're getting, and if they're dodging you, if you feel like they're not responding to what it is you're doing, you have to sit back and wonder. I know we all ask ourselves this question, like, are they trying to dodge us? Like, what is the deal? Why are they trying to avoid us? And it may be the approach, it may be the way that you're approaching this donor. And I hate to say that, because you probably had really good intentions when you reached out to them, but there's a chance that they might just be avoiding you because they feel cornered, they feel pressured. And nobody wants to feel like the salesperson on the other end of the phone or emailing you or sending you messages through social media is stalking you. So you don't want to be that person. You don't want to be the one who's on the other end feeling like you're putting pressure on somebody. So I do want to pull it back and just say, okay, let's sit back and realize, how have we contacted them in the past? what sorts of things have we asked them? Is it just that we flat out asked them for money and we haven't asked their opinion? We haven't asked their thoughts. We've never shown any interest in actually wanting to get together with them. So what is it that you have, what message are you telling this person? And I want you to be able to evaluate that in a, you know, so that this person is a human being, that they feel valued and that you care more about them than just their money. So in order to do that, I've shared in previous episodes that I've said, use some of the techniques as far as that you're going to be in town, you're going to be in the area, you want to get together for coffee. Let's find a time to chat. But another way that you can actually engage them is to, you know, say that you want to ask them a question. So the question is that you want feedback on the way that you're approaching people. So you can actually ask the person who's avoiding you about your approach and come about it in a very genuine, confident, you know, way, in the fact that you want to get better at what you do. You want to make sure that your cause is being represented right. And so what would be the best way that you could actually go and talk to people about financially giving? And, but when you're reaching out to them, you're actually asking them, hey, I would love to get your opinion on, you know, some stuff that I'm working on with our cause. And, you know, and throw it out there. Just give them the opportunity to share, to say whether they're interested or not. And if they're avoiding you altogether, you know, who knows what's going on in their life. That's, I always lean on that, is I never know when they're dealing with a loss. You know, who knows, maybe a family member, you know, is sick, ill, not feeling, you know, not doing well, or maybe they lost a loved one. And you never want to assume that they're dodging you because of something that you've done. I take the approach of, I just assume that something happened in their life and maybe they're just so busy that they just haven't gotten around to it, or they're waiting for something else to happen in order for them to respond to you. So this is where, no matter what, I want to keep this person on your newsletter list, on your email list, however you're communicating with prospects. Continue to do that because you just never know. So my answer to the question is, the question of how to know when it's time to remove a donor from your prospect list. My answer is, do not remove somebody from your prospect list, but do move somebody. If they were an A, maybe they're a B now. And maybe if they were a B, they're a C now. And maybe if they're a C, they're at the bottom of the list. And so they're just on the list and they're not a priority at this point. But all of your prospects are being communicated with in some way. So you've got some sort of way to tease and to share. Of course, if this is a C person who doesn't even know you exist and doesn't know you, doesn't have an affinity towards your cause, you're obviously going to take that person in a different, you're going to approach that in a different way. You're not going to send them a ton of mailings, all that sort of thing, because they're going to be like, who is this person? But you put them on your list and it's kind of that wish list of, someday I'd love to meet so-and-so, because I really think that they would be a great fit to with our organization and with what we're doing. And a lot of times it's because they've got influence and affluence, you know, that they have the ability to speak up and share your message in a way that maybe somebody else doesn't have the ability to do. So be sure to keep those names on your list, because you just don't know. So this is what I love about when you do create an event or you have some sort of campaign that's coming up. C-level prospects tend to be pretty good when you're looking for a spokesperson. So if you're looking for an honorary chairman or somebody who could maybe raise the level of visibility for your cause, now that would be somebody that you might pull from a C-list, and you would be really, really hardcore trying to find the connection to that person, because you'd like to invite them to serve in a specific, you know, role for your organization. So that's just something to be thinking about. You may just have that list of people where you're like, oh, this is the dream team of who we'd love to have as a representative of our cause, but we just need to get in front of them. So, and that's great. I think you just always have to have those names on your list, because you just don't ever know. And if you don't ask, you're never going to get them, right? So continue to keep those names in front of your volunteers and your current donors, for that matter. So some of the questions that you can ask yourself, just as we're wrapping up, is I want you to just ask yourself how somebody got on your prospect list. You know, how did somebody even get on your list in the first place? And if it was just because it was a friend of a friend of a friend, and you didn't know if there was a any prospect there, just be aware of that, that maybe they should drop lower down on your list. You know, how long has this person been on your list? If this person's been sitting there for over a year, it's time to start moving them off. You know, if you've been stalking them and sending them messages continuously and you can't get anywhere, put them down at the bottom of your list and start working on some of the other ones. Another question is, do you know each other? Do you have a history? Do you even have any sort of background together to build a relationship off of? And if that's a no, same thing. Push them down off that list. Are they interested in your cause? Like I said, do they have an affinity? And the last question I want you to ask yourself is, do you have an action plan for your prospects? This is really important. If you don't have an action plan as to how to engage your prospects, they're going to stay at the bottom of your list and they're not going to move up because you don't have any ability to get to know them. So this is where I like a good home event. I like, you know, mixer kind of events where you can get people to come and just hear about what it is that you're doing. And if they don't ever come, they don't ever respond to anything that you invite them to, then they probably are trying to drop a hint that they're just not interested in what you're doing. So when you get that kind of response, that is the time when you should just cross them off the list and know something happened, you know, that they're just not a good fit. Now, I've come across prospects where they flat out despised our cause. I know it's hard to believe that people would not like a charity because you're doing good work and you know you are. But I have come across people who just flat out do not like what we do. And, you know, that's okay. That's their choice. And so I just know I'm going to cross them off. I'm going to make a note. I'm going to notify, you know, put it in my notes that this is what the situation was so that I know not to contact them in the future, because clearly they've made it very firm that they do not like the work that we do. And that's, like I said, that's okay. And so depending on what it is that you do and the cause that you represent, the people you represent, there's always going to be somebody who kind of plays that, you know, the competition or the person who's just feels like you have too much money or you guys have too much recognition. It's just funny that people would, you would ever get that kind of response, but it happens. And it actually happens quite frequently depending on the size of your organization and, you know, the number of people you're impacting. Sometimes there's just those people who just don't like it when other people succeed. So that's okay. But just remember that you want to take note of that. You want to put it on your prospect list and notate that this is somebody that you don't want to be in contact with. So from there, that's what I got for you. So big thing is just to know your prospects, know where they fit on your list. Do they have an affinity? Do they have the ability? And do you have access to them? And those are the three things that I want you to continue to ask yourself as you're prospecting and as you're putting these people and moving them through your list as you're making contact with them. But the most important takeaway here is really all about how do you communicate with them. If you have no relationship with them at all, there's no reason why they should be an A prospect for you. If you have zero relationship, that is the most important part of building any sort of financial contribution from a potential donor, is that it needs to first and foremost start with a relationship and some way that they know about you, you know about them, and you guys have a connection. So be sure to start making those calls. You know, get on the phone, start finding ways to connect with people. Invite them to share their input and ask them for help. Ask them for their ideas and use it. Actually care about what your donors and those prospects have to say about the work that you're doing. And, you know, definitely just get them engaged in some way so that you can move them through the process and eventually have that face-to-face meeting with them, so that you can invite them to your cause. So once again, just want to invite you to be a part of my coaching program. Of course, be sure to check out maryvaloney.com/coaching. I also have the coaching course that's up on my website, and that is a self-guided coaching course. So if you want to be a part of that, you can check that out on my website as well. But if you have any questions, if you're going through the week and you're just really struggling with something, you want to know more about maybe how you should handle a prospect, please reach out. I'm not that hard to find. Of course, we're on fundraising, you know, the Fundraising Freedom Tribe on Facebook. If you're not already a part of that, just search us on Facebook, Fundraising Freedom Tribe, and we'll connect that way. You can just request to be a part of the group, and I'd love to have you in there. So, and of course, you can find me, Mary, at maryvaloney.com if you have any questions. So, hope you guys have a great week. I'm excited about your prospect list and the work that you're doing to impact the world. And so, I just encourage you to keep doing the work that you're doing and keep plugging away. It all matters. It really does, and you're doing incredible work. So go change the world one volunteer and $1 at a time. What could your favorite charity do if money were not an object? Most nonprofit leaders say they know what to do, they just don't know how to do it. What if you had a resource that showed you step by step how to raise the funds you need to fulfill your mission? Hi, I'm Mary Valone, author of Fundraising Freedom, and I've raised millions of dollars for charity, and I'd love to show you exactly how to do it and how to recruit the right team to back you. Fundraising Freedom, 7 Steps to Build and Sustain Your Next Campaign, available now at maryvalone.com. Amazon.com, and online at all major bookstores. Get your copy and give the gift of Fundraising Freedom to your favorite charity today.